Ghostman, horror host here. Yum yum, by Ghostman. I have been waiting a long time. My hunger was growing stronger and my senses were beginning to tingle. I knew the time was coming for me to feed again. I had to stop start making my trap as I always did. So I made my appointment with a man in a white coat. And I sat back in my chair for the phone call for my destiny. As usual, I ended up in the same old looking building. The pictures on the wall and posters and out-of-date magazines on a table nobody ever reads. Then the man in a white coat came and saw me and pricked my gums with a syringe. I then while wait, as he thought it was of taking effect. The man in the white coat said, as you may know, he's a dentist, who then places me on his leather chair. Like a Venus flytrap, I open my mouth, ready for my next bite of food to be attracted to my bait. The dentist came towards me with his small, long stick with a mirror on top. He told me to make sure to keep my mouth wide as possible. As the dentist placed his hand in my mouth, I struck. I bit at his arm with a vice-lit grip. He began screaming in pain, trying to break free. I began eating his bones and flesh and drinking the blood with relish till nothing was left of him. He was truly yum yum. Time to hibernate now. And when I awaken again, watch out, dentist. I am coming for you. The end. Ghostman Horror Host here. Killing Tiffany Hudson by Gregory Garogo. The other exterminator sat next to me on the grand rail, trying to catch her breath. She looked carefully at my knife while massaging the size of a bald, tattooed head. Was she smiling? You're pretty good at with this thing, she said. I suppressed a growl and glanced down the quickly darkening street for signs of more offspring. There were always more of them in the city. Thanks to her, they have no trouble finding us. She'd be lucky if I didn't leave her here to die. Not that she would fare any better if I stayed. She just wouldn't die alone. I risked a quick scan of other thoughts to see how close the offspring were. I was surprised when a ripple of emotion trickled the back of my mind. Fear, panic. It wasn't from her either. I stood and spun around, trying to get a fix on it, but it was gone. One thing was certain, though. It had to be human. I liked something with a bit of reach myself, the girl continued, as Beer had a 4 foot half, which slightly curved, serrated blade added another 2 feet to its length. From the way she used it, it must have been her favourite childhood toy. Annoying her, I scanned the streets and buildings around us for more thoughts. She must have been there to find the humans too. If she could find them quickly, we stood a chance of reaching a safer spot out in the country. The only faults I found were hers, though, and oddly, they were rather buoyant, happy even. Lots of big ones out today, she continued casually. Sure, they are different when they were at first. What was that first like? Her accent was strong but pleasant. Probably Texas. Her S was soft and her first sounding like frist. I didn't ask her. I needed to know more about her. It was if I was going to fight at her side again. I attuned to her mind and listened to her thoughts. She had gone grail, being happy in this paved graveyard, which had if she had lost it, I was trying to get killed. She should have done it quietly, so she didn't have to come to try to save her. Nothing in her on her surface thoughts explained what she was doing or why she was so happy. She was trying to get killed, though. This was just a normal day for her. When she went full bore. It was a nothing sort of person. She sought, which meant short-lived for an exterminator. How she has survived this long with that philosophy was a complete mystery, and probably nothing short of a miracle. Well, she said. Asked. She stood up and faced me, and my heart stopped. For a second, wavy blonde hair framed her pretty face. Tears poured from her soft brown eyes. Her curious gaze morphed into tortured, accusing glare. I blinked, and her bald tattooed scalp returned. Her cheeks were dry, and a half smile twisted her lips. My heart beat again. Looked like a dog, I lied, trying to recover from the shock of my hallucination. Why was she asking about my thirst? It was hard enough to keep going on without being reminded of that day. It would have been the best day of my life, but I know I wanted more than to forget it ever happened. It was my last day of high school, the day I finally kissed Tiffany Hudson. My grandfather promised to give us his 1970 Chevrolet Mustang, the 350, for getting a full scholarship. His alma mater is a perfect start of a new life, but life didn't agree with my plans. I never drew that Mustang, never went to college, and never saw Tiffany Hudson again. Not in person, anyway. That was the day I started killing Zebra, using us exterminators, but whatever word you wanted to use, all mounted the same thing. It would have killed me if Zippy hadn't been there, I added softly, still caught between the memory of the day and the present. My ears are still rang for the blocking so many offspring, but it was fading with the rest. Zippy, she asked incredibly, it sounds like sheep hay in her drawl. Close enough. Yeah, right, she continued. I'm already impressed, pal. You don't have to drop names. I didn't blame her for not believing me. I didn't care either way. I wanted to find the humans and get out of the city while I still had a chance. But a cool chill crawling up my spine told me that our rest was over. Another quick stand for thoughts found only lustful, hungry hatred for another offspring. There's a big one coming over there, I said, pointing at the shattered post office. What were you thinking, coming to the city? Anyone who lived this long should know better, especially one of us. He didn't answer. We watched, waiting for the beast to show itself. We knew where we were, of course. It could feel its tentacles of mental energy snapping, shaking into my head. The sensation of one of those monsters sipping into my mind was vile, but I didn't want to block it until it was closer. I wanted to think I was another hunk of human meat. I walked down to the alley by the post office and strolled towards us. It was a big one. The new girl gripped her spear and braced to fight. Funny, she said with a short laugh. I've got a camel. Clydesdale, I said. Why? Where did you see a camel? I added with a slightly mocking gurgle. The offspring used our memory to make us think we were something else, usually a harmless animal that we remembered fondly. It gave them some time to close in and kill for surprise. I've been many places, she said defensively. I'll kill this one if you don't mind. It sounded like a brave offer, but in truth, it was an illness she was already too weak to block. She had finished half a dozen offspring before I arrived, and was now too exhausted to do more killing. More than kill, using that much power so quickly would have been a beacon of the offspring. Must have been just as it had been to me. I mind, I said, anger starting to boil back to the surface. If you already had this wiped out, you will be in my way. There are humans nearby. Go see if you can find them while I keep you distracted. You stay in sight. We have to get out of here soon if you want to live. And it gets dark early here. I didn't need to read her thoughts to know her thoughts. She thought I was an ass expression, she said it very clearly. Even so, she knew I was right. She jogged to the subway tunnel or across the street and knelt in the shadows of the standing stairs. The offspring picked up its pace and trotted towards me, ignoring the girl. Its mental energy strengthened, building for the crippling bus that it would deliver when it got a few places closer. Ignoring my ringing ears, I slammed a razor thin wall of energy between us, severing its links of my mind. The illusory glossing skin vanished, revealing the beast's true horrific form as it lunged to the attack. Thick, cold muscles bulged beneath fervent blue skin on a body that looked part grinner, part bulldog in sport. His short but powerful hind legs and longer, thicker forelimbs faded to yellow hands and feet with wicked blue claws. Fleshy knobs resembling ears, a nose and lips dangled grotesquely from its chin, with empty eye sockets on either side, a vague remnant of its heritage. Where a face should have been, twisted, rigid, bony ridges resembled a exposed brain, sparked with alien power. At 15 paces, the brainy ridges were shivered, and it blasted with a wave of mental energy. No doubt this attack would have been significant to stun or incapacitate other victims, but the only effect on me was more ringing in my ears. It shattered against my wall. I attacked twice more, with its mind closing in to use its claw. My ears rung, my head throbbed, and a little more of my strength had been sapped in each attack. It leapt high into the air to attack from the shark-like jaws in its chest. If I got lucky, if I were messed up, it could bite me in half. Fortunately, offspring were nothing but, if not predictable, get close with an illusion, stunned with a elemental attack, and each with defensive prey. I ducked beneath it, knife humming as I slashed and rolled back. My feet, black and blue stodge, oozed from its bloated belly as it spun around to face me again. I silently faked Zippy for the knife. It generated a frequency that disrupted the offspring's nastities and kept them from regenerating. More importantly, it let me kill without using more of my own power, which was absolutely necessary. Instead, I used a tiny bit of power to boost my speed and reaction time. I slashed again as it lunged, barely avoiding its claws. Predictably, didn't come more or less dangerous. My own entities could repair most wounds with enough time and heat, but a strong hit from those claws or teeth might do more damage too quickly for them to be survived. The new girl must have been worried about this, too, since she was running towards me with a lit propane torch. By the time she reached me, I had landed a few more stabs and slashes. The fight was over. The husband had collapsed into a pool of sludgy flesh and goo. "You okay?" she said, for offering the torch. "Thanks, but I can't do that anymore," I replied. "Oh," she replied. Her expression went from concern to sorrow, and she looked at her feet. "I am sorry." Since the nanites used thermal energy to replenish it, we could burn a bad wound to lick them into overdrive. A damaged living tissue would be scorched away painfully, I might add, and replace the nanites. When the nanites reached a certain percentage of our mass, they would require more heat and more living tissue would produce. And game over. It was somewhere very near the crucible and didn't want to push it. "How many is that now?" she asked, looking at the carnage around us. "Can't tell," I said. "The glutinous corsets from our previous battle were pulled together, making it impossible to count how many we killed. I had kept count, of course, but Zippy used to say that it didn't matter how many we killed, only how many we left. He was right. There could have been anywhere between 1,000 to 1,000,000 just in Manhattan. I've never seen anyone move like that. You, it's like you were in 3 places at once, stabbing, slashing, and powering all at the same time. Who are you? All the speeds of the world don't matter if there are too many enemy to track in a fight. One hit from you didn't see it all takes. The one who was stronger than most offspring, I thought. But that's the way I stay out of the cities, and that's why we need to get out of this one. Did you find the humans? I didn't look for them. I was watching you, she replied. I'm Diana. I'm real glad you showed up when you did. She struck her arm out to strike my hand. Crane, I said reluctantly. I pretended to clean my knife, though it was almost already spotless. Nanites slid off its blade like water off a hot skillet. Crane, she repeated. She stared at me with Tiffany eyes again, weighing what she had seen. Just deciding whether or not to believe me. As in Crane, did you pick his name out to suspect, or did you try to pass as me him? I guess he made up her mind. I took the name my parents gave me, I said, with unblinking stare. I forcibly turned my thoughts away from her family. My family. Ha! I've been fighting side by side with religion. Wait till my friends find out. A sarcasm and a voice took me off guard. I almost laughed aloud, but there's no time to place to let my guard down. Look, we need to find the humans to get them back to wherever we've been hiding. If we stay, we'll bring hell down to this place. Then you can die aside, with a legend. She stared at me again, reconsidering. She wanted to ask if it was true. I could hear her thoughts as easy as I could her words. She desperately wanted to believe it. Is it true? It's almost a wish, so she said. She was scared to believe. That's, they say, Zippy knew how to stop it. I never really thought he was real. He was. If he was, or is he real? He did not know how to kill them all. He didn't have it done it right. If really, Crane, then Zippy, are you really him? In the flesh, I said. I didn't want to have the discussion it with her. But her eyes held such hope and desperation. I had to answer her. Speaking of faith, she began. She pointed down towards the street, towards me, behind me, towards a single man walking casually towards us. Maybe it's human. I could tell right away that it wasn't. His mind was so incredibly powerful. I could sense without trying, even from this distance. I had faced hosts before. They were deadly. They were an offspring who relied on claw and teeth to kill before consuming its victims. A host lurched away its victims' memories, emotions and thoughts before you even know what happened. You're an extra in the George Miller film. Let's get out of sight, she said. Please, I hate killing those things. It's just so sad. I understood how some of us become like you and me, while others end up like that. I can barely recall what it was that like them. We were all just people. That thing is not any person anymore, people anymore. It won't ever be a person again. We are exterminators. It needs to die. Now put your blocks up and let's get back before it gets up. You were human once, Crane. You are they are your city. In this city, scientists and doctors, they're close to a cure. I don't want to kill the host if there's a chance we can save them. That's not. And then get your mind. Ease your mind. They cannot be saved. And my mind's alien. Their souls are shredded, and their humanity is gone. You are human once, Crane. There are people in this city, scientists and doctors, they're close to skewer. I don't want to kill the hosts if there's a chance we can save them. Let me ease your mind. They cannot be saved. Their minds are alien, their souls are shredded, and their humanity is gone. There'll be no coming back from that. Death is the last dignity we can give them. What about us? What are we then? She's on the verge of moral crisis and silently pleading with me to tell her there was still hope. There was, but not in the way she would. Let me ease your mind. You cannot be saved. Their minds are alien. Their souls are shredded. Their humanity is gone. There's no coming back from that. Death is the least dignity we can give them. What about us? What are we, then? We are on the verge of moral crisis and silently pleading with me to tell her there was still hope. There was, but only in a way she wanted to hear. We are the only ones who can do it. We can kill them, hosts, offspring, husk, all of them. You are a killer, Diana. Get used to it. You are the first exterminator I've seen in 6 months. We are losing the fight because we forgot what we are, and that's what when we die. I know that you're looking for hope. Well, look in the mirror. If there's any hope left for humanity, we are it. She bowed her head. It wasn't what she wanted to hear. She needed someone to lean on, but people like us, there was no one. We had ourselves, only ourselves. The host was about a block away, and the hold of us that followed it was coming out the building and alleys. So offspring started showing up too. Time to go, I said, scraped her arm and pulled her into the subway tunnel. I sense two humans in here. Be careful. I know, Crane, they are sentries. There's an entrance to the prison from the suburbs, about two blocks from here. That's where the humans are hiding. It's fortified, and there are other establishments behind it, defending it. We have Dr. Crane and a baby. 200 of us live here. No, not 2 of us in there now. A baby, how many? You've affected humans? How many? I didn't want to give her an answer. Offsprings that are what happened to when affected humans and babies. It's no wonder there's so many of them here. Instead of scanning her thought, I delved into her memories and saw everything. Even though they were still affected, every woman among them was pregnant. We're trying to get that way. The doctors and scientists carefully monitored each stage. Delved into her memories and saw everything, even though they were afflicted. Every evil woman among them was pregnant or trying to get that way. The doctors and scientists carefully monitored every stage of the process. They had solar, wind, and power plants on the roof, and the diesel generators for backup. Their foe lasted. They were still surviving on salvaged food. They were carefully rationing should eat for another 8 weeks. I was disturbed by what they were doing here, but with dozens of baddies coming in around us, the time for discussion was over. With my mind connected to my delve, she knew what I was in my head. It wasn't likely that she could use the connection as I did, but we certainly knew each other's faults. We can't stay together, for just like we can sense them in the greater numbers, they can sense us. Together we are magnet. I lead them away while you get the humans back to safety. I was running before I finished the thought. Crane, no. Come with me. We're safe at the prison, she thought. I dropped and delve and burned some power to cover up some ground. I dropped and delve and burned some paper to cover some more ground. Each stride before us came a soaring leap, carrying me 10 paces or more. I worked too. I was like a rabbit in the hole open, running with a pack of wolves. I put my blocks to keep my host of my mind and keep going towards the river. All 6 offspring looped down the stream after me, all about the size of Great Danes. I looked up and saw these 3 more leaping onto the rooftop. Easily. I delved into burning and burned some powder to cover some ground. Each stride became a soaring leap, carrying me 10 paces or more. I worked too. I was like a rabbit in open air, running from a pack of wolves. I put on my blocks to keep the host out of my head and keep going towards the river. 6 offspring looped around the street after me, all about the size of Great Danes. I looked up and saw the 3 of them leaping from the west of the Six offspring looped down the street after me, all about the same size of Great Danes. I looked up and saw 3 more leaping from the rooftop to the rooftop, easy keeping pace with me. I stopped to block them from the river and waited in the middle of the street to make my stand. A host is still several blocks away, but I would start its insult by my mental barrier soon. More hosts appeared from doorways. I stopped at the block for the river. I waited for the middle street to make my stand. The host was still blocks away, but it would start its assault on my mental barrier soon. Some more husks appeared from the doorway, and others around the corners, some shambling, others running towards me. They asked being at or trampled any that got in their way. They reached me fast. I could have picked them off from a distance, but I let them get closer to conserve my strength. As it came into striking distance, I hit each one of them with a quick jab of mental energy, disrupting their brains and dropping them like sacks of meat. I used a lot more energy to kill them this way. It was like a beacon to any mutant. It didn't already know I was there. By the time the first wave of offspring reached me, twice as many were on their way. I just needed to keep them busy until Dana got a human to safety. I slashed for sonic knife as the beast attacked. I was already completely deafened by the ringing of my ears from their blind blasts and stabbing pain of each other slept my strength and distracted me. I would have been able to hold out for a while, but it was staring to look at like Diana and had gotten me killed after all. I pushed down more power into the knife, killing an offspring with each blow. But it wasn't enough. They were all around me now. The first wave of husks were getting close. The offspring dropped above, almost landed me. I could barely get out of its way and melted with sweat flash. It was getting a bit snug, even in the middle of the street. Waiting to have some... They were all around me now. The first wave of husks were getting close. The offspring dropped from above, almost landed me and barely out of the way and melted it with a single slash. It was getting time, a bit snug even in the middle of the street. I wanted to have more of them closer before I threw my nuke as I thought of it. But three offspring were rushing me together. I kept an elderly hash harassing all their power I could muster. When they were almost... They were rushing me together. I knelt down on the knee, harnessing all the power I could muster. When they were almost on top of me, I pushed a burst of energy away from me and falling like a rolling ridge. For two blocks, every one of them fell into a pool of blue sludge. It left me with almost no power, but hopefully it brought me enough time to recover and get away. My hero was completely useless. Even my senses blurred from the mental exhaustion. I focused on the vibrations of his knife and had a quick meditation exercise to focus my mind. Instead of relying on my fidelity senses, I scanned for faults. I was just in time to dodge an offspring had been on a rooftop above the radius of our house. Instead of relying on my 40 senses, I scanned for faults. I'm just in time to dodge an offspring that had been on my rooftop above the radius of my birth. Above it, the radius of my birth. It landed next to me, showering me with chunks of scattered pavement. The one I didn't notice landed on my right calf. I rolled over and amazingly pulled away from the beast, but I could not stand up. I realized my crushed leg was still pinned beneath its clawed web, but a burst of energy away from me, rolling rage for two blocks, where everyone from them fell into a pool of blue sludge. It left me almost no power, but hopefully it brought me enough time to recover and get away. My hearing was completely useless, even my vision blurred from the mental exhaustion. I focused on vibrations of his knife. I did a quick meditation exercise to focus my mind. Instead of relying on my dodgy senses, I scanned for faults. I was just in time to dodge and the offspring that had been on the rooftop by the radius of my burst. It landed next to me, showering me with chunks of shattered pavement. The one I didn't notice landed on my left right calf. I rolled over and amazingly pulled away from the beast, but when I couldn't stand up, I realized my crushed legs were still pinned to its clawed feet from the pinned knee down. The other spurfing hit me from behind, sinking its teeth into my right shoulder. Time slowed to a crawl as it rocked forward and bit my arm off. My body tried to prepare itself, but every drop of blood I lost and every ounce of flesh was replaced by nanites. At any moment, the vice would shift and my living flesh would no longer sustain the nanites with its warmth. I pushed another ring of sonic energy away from my body with all my strength I could muster, turning all the offspring within 20 yards into goo. It was all I had, my severed arm still clutched the sword, buried in gritchous glow. One I didn't notice landed on my right calf. I rolled over and amazingly pulled away from the beast. But when I couldn't stand up, I realized that my crushed leg was still pinned beneath its cold feet. From the knee down, the other offspring hit me from behind, sinking its teeth into my right shoulder. Time slowed to a crawl as it rocked forward and bit my arm off. My body tried to repair itself, but each drop of blood I lost, every ounce of flesh was replaced by replicating nanites. At any time, the balance would shift and my living flesh would no longer sustain a nanites with its warmth. I pushed another ring of sonic energy away from my body. With all my strength I could muster, turning all the offspring within 20 yards into goo. It was all I had, my severed arm still clutched of life, buried in gruesome mutant goo. I'm sure I was in shock, but I found my arm and stuck it back into place, leaving the nanites reconnect the two. Letting the nanites reconnect the issue. I managed to pull myself up and lean on an elbow. More concrete in front of me crumbled as soon as other offspring from the roof landed. It's odd watching it happen with blurry vision and no sound. I figured that'd be the one that killed me. It slumped and stared, melting where I landed with an arrow sticking out of its brain. A short, dark-haired man was running towards me. More arrows soared overhead, biting into the offspring. I kept coming down from the roofs. The dark-haired man punched and kicked melting offspring and husk with every hit. Another exterminator. Down the street, 8 humans with bows launched more arrows in the fray. Another exterminator joined the first killing, and others were hit with arrows while Dana stood with the archers, killing any that tried to reach him. Dana, I thought, linking our minds once more, I'm sorry to do this to you. I have a secret. I cannot die with it. It's your burden now. Light scepter under me. I imprinted all my thoughts and memories and experiences into my mind. She instantly knew everything I knew. Her shock quickly became repulsion as she understood what I had done. The stories about Zip going and knowing how to stop the spread were true. Zippy knew how to change the nanites into antiparticles to be, he called, antinites. They would devastate. Down the street, 8 humans with bows and arrows, more arrows in the fairy. Another exterminator joined the first, killing the others of hit with arrows, while Dana stood with the archers, killing any that tried to reach them. Dana, I thought, linking our minds once more, I'm sorry to do this, I have a secret. I cannot die with you. It's your bottom now. Like Zippy had done to me, I imprinted all my thoughts, memories, and experiences into her mind. She instantly knew everything I knew. She shook her shock quickly became revulsion as she understood what I had done. The stories about Zippy knowing how to stop the spread. Well, true, Zippy knew how to change nanites into antiparticles called antinites that could neutralize and convert every nanite that touched into nanite, starting a chain reaction that would slowly but eventually spread across the world, wiping out the pesticides and everything affected by them. Pat Kane, you could have stopped it. You have the power to stop it, but that you let it spread. You could have ended it, but you kept fighting. But now it's spread too far. One of them is knelt next to me with a profane torch. But I shook my head. I am over the line. I can't burn anyone, I said. Dear God, he whispered, looking behind me. The concrete and railings along the water's edge crumbled beneath a awful foot thickener than oil and natural dam. A selection of shattered street slid into the river. Its offspring and the size of whale pulled itself from the water. At least a dozen others of various sizes, much larger than others. I had just killed. Followed. I ripped into my, fell into my back and relaxed. I wish I had seen the ripples, wind rippled clouds overhead. My blurred vision turned the world into a impression rending an apocalypse. I dodged my violent impending doom for the last time. I had one last task to complete before accepting the fate or had chosen. I can't change what I've done, Diana. I'm too afraid to use a weapon when it would have made a difference. I was a coward. Now I'm too weak to use it. I'm dying. Nanites are stealing the last rope from my flesh. If any pure humans still exist out there, you can save them. Not by killing us. You already killed us all. I fell into the black, my back and relaxed. I wish I could have seen the rippled, wind-ripped clouds over, racing up ahead. My blurred vision turned into world into an impressionist rending of the globules. I had dodged my violent impending doom for the last time. I had one task to complete for accepting the end that fate or I had chosen. I won't change what I've done, Diana. I'm too afraid to use a weapon when it would have been made it. What difference? I am a coward, but I am too weak to use it. I am dying. Nanites are stealing the last warmth from my flesh. If pure humans still exist out there, you can save them. You already killed us, Crane. A year ago, maybe 10,000 people would have died. Now, it'll be a miracle if that many survive. There might not even be any to save, but you expected me to weigh your life against the chance. I already know what your chances would be. She stood up and looked towards the binoff. Coming down the street, it lumbered through the corner of a building, toppling its wake. It was made of look of popsicle sticks. My body is frailing. Was I seeing through Diana's eyes or my own? I couldn't reason it out. Memories flashed through my awareness, blending with reality till I couldn't tell what was real and what was fantasy. The others are coming, a man's voice called. We have just got to hold them off for a minute, Diana. Quick, brushing your hair. Let's go. She didn't hesitate. It spread out like a soft breeze through the crumbling city. A ripple of blue light, pale blue light, so faint and fast. And most didn't see it. Every living being touched it suffered. Most die instantly, not all. Some of the survivors used a day later, unable to recover any large portions of their bodies, suddenly melting away. None were completely untouched. I tried to wipe the sweat from my cheek, but my arm wouldn't move. It wasn't sweat on my cheek anyway. My blood was cooling, and the nanites flowed off me like dry water. I was melting, just like the offspring I had killed. It didn't hurt much. With all our minds still dialed, Devoured. Christa. I tried to wipe the sweat from my cheek, but my arm wouldn't move. It sweat wasn't on my cheek anymore. My body was cooling. My nanites flowed off me like dry water. I was melting, just like the offspring I had killed. It didn't hurt much. With our minds still dwelled, Diana and I experienced each other's final moments. She was still mostly human, and she was in agony as the alien portions of her body died and separated from its firm flesh. Somehow she thought she was dying. She thought of the people hiding there in the fort as a safe zone. She thought of her sister, Tina, the same day because her mother, to a healthy, born child, it meant that there were happy hope for mankind of all. She felt happiness through her suffering. My eyes must have been closed, or they would have melted away. I knew what I was not seeing. I was not seeing the real world. The flittering bits of data flashing around my brain took me back to Jeffrey Hess's house on my final day of high school. Her dog attacked me on the back deck, but it showed up and killed it. We saw that I was inflicted too, but because I resisted, became a host or a husk, it implanted its memories and experiences into my head, making me Earth's first human experimenter. He had already exterminated dozens of my neighbors and traced the last of them infected here to Tiffany's house. Now I knew what he did. I had to finish his work or let the alien plague spread across Earth. I don't think if I could do it, but his voice in my head urged me on, killing Tiffany's little brother. A dog attacked me in the back deck. It was about Zoe showed up and killed it. He saw I was infected, but because I resisted becoming a host of us, he implanted his memories and experience in my mind, making me Earth's first human exterminator. He has already exterminated dozens of my neighbours and had traced the last of them infected here to Tiffany's house. But now that I knew what he did, I had to finish his work or let the alien plague spread across the Earth. I didn't think I could do it, but this voice in my head urged me on, killing Tiffany's little brother was almost more than I could bear, but the heavy conscience of failure impressed in my mind. I kept looking. Her sisters, her parents, even her visiting grandparents had to die. It was only dozens of my neighbours. They traced the last affected in Tiffany's house. Now I knew what he did. I finished his work. I let the plague spread across the Earth. I didn't think so. I could do this. His voice in my head urged me on. Killing Tiffany's little brother was almost more than I could bear. But it was with the heavy consciousness of my failure, pressure to mind, I kept killing. Her little sisters, her parents, even her visiting grandparents had to die. Even though they saw each other melt into pores and nanite sludge, they knew nothing of any infection. They knew that I was a... Her little sisters, even her visiting grandparents, had to die. Even though they watched each other melt into pools and nanite sludge, they knew nothing of any affection. They only knew that I was killing them. I found Tiffany last, carrying in a bedroom closet. We both wept when she saw the knife in my hand. So even to reach the nanite tipping point too, but we had stopped the alien plague that destroyed his world and countless others. He was the last of his kind, but he seemed eager to die, knowing that I could carry on in his place, ready to create and use Ainites in a play return that couldn't be contained. I was crying as I walked down the sidewalk in front of Tiffany's house. Yes, for the killing I had done, but also for the killing I had not done. She stood in her bedroom window, watching me leave. Tears streaked her brown, her pretty face, and blonde curls fell down her soft lips. Her soft brown eyes as she passed the sludge converted. hands to. Xavier has reached the nanite tipping point, but he had stopped there. The plague destroyed his world and counted less of us. He is the last of his kind, but seemed eager to die, knowing I carried on his place, ready to create. Use nanites if the plague returned and couldn't be retained. I was still crying as I walked down the sidewalk in front of Tiffany's house. Yes, for the killing I'd done, but also the killing I had not done. She stood in a bedroom window, watching me leave. Tears streaked her pretty face. Blonde curls fell down upon her soft brown eyes as she pressed the sludge covered hands against the window. For God forgive me, I couldn't do it. But as the last image flickered and vanished, I knew I had no forgiveness awaited me. The end.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.